In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Why don't you just grow up? As the youngest of five children, I must confess that I heard these words more than once. And yet it is interesting to note that Adam also heard these words. Indeed, they were the first words he heard proceeding from the mouth of his Creator. Be fruitful. Multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. The very first command, be fruitful, can be translated simply as grow up. However, whereas my elder siblings may have used the phrase to remind me that I did not measure up to their state of maturity, God uses the phrase with a profound sense of hope and eager expectation. God speaks to Adam as a farmer who sows the seed with confidence in the harvest that will come. His call to grow up bears the sure expectation that his seed will indeed fall into the earth and produce many seeds, that his present sowing will produce 30, 60, even a hundredfold crop in the age to come. Thus, it is no great surprise that in the Scriptures, our Lord presents us with numerous examples of saints who grow up. For instance, we follow David, who begins as a shepherd boy, the forgotten eighth son, whom Jesse does not even bother to present to Samuel, who then becomes the anointed one, a courageous warrior, a king, and finally, through the struggles within his own heart, ends as a priest, offering sacrifices to quiet a plague. David is but one of the great cloud of witnesses that surround us in the pages of Holy Scripture. Most of these witnesses we view from afar. We see their course of life from an historical distance. However, Solomon, David's son, is different. His three books, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Songs, give us a different perspective. In these writings, we experience the growth of a saint from the inside. In these three books, we follow the intimate journey of a man's heart. Indeed, they present us with a kind of personal diary mapping Solomon's passionate struggle for wisdom. As Gregory of Nyssa put it, to read Solomon's writings is to follow a path that leads into the Holy of Holies, into the inner sanctuary, into the bridal chamber of Solomon's own heart and his passionate desire for God. And so this path, Solomon's journey into the bridal chamber, begins with the book of Proverbs. This book is oriented toward the child, the youthful son receiving instruction from his father and mother. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In Proverbs, the road toward wisdom is indeed at its beginning. And as with any journey, the beginning is full of hope and eager expectation and joyful optimism. Wisdom is here pictured as a father and mother speaking tenderly to their child. They describe wisdom as a beautiful crown of flowers, as a brilliant glory and wealth of jewels, as an abundant feast of grilled meats and mixed wines and broken bread. Proverbs is an invitation that evokes the child's desire for knowledge, that arouses his passion for insight. Thus, wisdom is pictured as the supreme beauty who draws the youth into her fellowship. Come, eat of my bread, drink the wine I have mixed, leave simpleness and live, walk in the way of insight. And yet, while the path toward wisdom begins here in the light of youthful joy and optimism and hope, it quickly turns for Solomon into the storms of darkness and discontentment and despair. In the book of Proverbs, Solomon portrayed himself as a youth, aroused with a passion for wisdom. But now in Ecclesiastes, Solomon styles himself a preacher, a discontented, elderly, rather grumpy professor, as one might find on this campus. In Ecclesiastes, Solomon is no longer at the beginning of the journey. He has grown up. He is approaching the end of the path. He describes himself as one who has acquired great wisdom, who has surpassed all who were before him. And as he now stands at the end, he feels truly betrayed. He feels utterly let down. You see, the invitation to a feast has turned into a fast. And the path of life is ending in death, and the way of insight has become the way of tears and suffering and sorrow. Indeed, listen to the preacher's words as he stands at the end of his path. I applied my mind to know wisdom, but I perceive that this is but a striving after the wind. In much wisdom is much vexation. He who increases knowledge increases sorrow. Now, there is a good mission statement for the seminary. And yet, dear friends, what is it here that increases Solomon's pain? What is it that compels Solomon to conclude his life with the words of our text? Then I considered all that my hands had done, the toil I had spent in doing it, and behold, all was vanity, striving after the wind. There is nothing to be gained under the sun. What is this despair that now fills Solomon's heart and spills from his tongue? Dear friends, it is indeed a despair that is here expressed. Not a despair about wisdom itself, but a profound despair about his own mind, about his own labor, about the limitations of his own existence. As he now stands at the end of the path, Solomon recognizes a critical truth, that true wisdom is eternal. And so while he has journeyed to the very extreme limits of his own being, the path of wisdom yet remains unfulfilled. Solomon aches at the depth of his heart because his desire, his passion, his thirst for wisdom will never be quenched in this world. Wisdom is eternal, but Solomon is temporal. Wisdom resides beyond the sun, but Solomon is imprisoned under the sun. As soon as Solomon approaches wisdom's dwelling place, wisdom withdraws herself like the wind. Solomon's desire is to strive after this wind, but he finds himself unable to rise above the sun, unable to pass over the mountains, unable to cross the valleys, or to pass through the sea. And so the more he feasts at wisdom's banquet, the more he hungers. And the more he drinks of her mixed wine, the more he thirsts. And the more he agonizes down the road of wisdom, the longer the path now becomes. From such a perspective, death now appears to be especially cruel to Solomon. Death is the insurmountable barrier that ends his quest for wisdom. Death is the impenetrable wall that will not be breached. It is the horizon that cannot be transcended. It is the cruel cage that limits the nature of man without limiting his desires. However, Solomon's quest for wisdom does not actually end here with the discontentment of Ecclesiastes, but rather with the joy of the Song of Songs. Solomon the youth and Solomon the preacher must finally surrender to Solomon the bride. His path began with the fear of the Lord. It passes through the despair of knowledge, but it ends with the love of the bridegroom. The love of the bridegroom, as Solomon rejoices to say, is as strong as death. And this is Solomon's hope. This is his great expectation. Solomon longs for wisdom to now split apart the heavens, to pull down the walls of Jericho, to make a path through the sea, to unlock the gates of paradise, to punch a hole through the barrier of death itself. Indeed, Solomon longs for Christ. His incarnation, his cross, his resurrection on the third day, the feast of his body and blood. For at the tree of the cross, Christ is finally the last Adam. He is the mature man. He is the grown man. He is the perfect man. By his cross, Christ has opened up the horizon for humanity. He has now revealed the eternal height, the eternal depth, the eternal length, and the eternal breadth of his love for us. A love that now overcomes every barrier, every limitation. A love that tears open the heavens, that levels the mountains, that raises the valleys, that splits apart the sea. Dear friends, no longer are we limited to a life lived under the sun. For in Christ we are now given a place beyond the sun, a place at the right hand of the Father. In Christ and his resurrection, the story of humanity does not just have a happy ending. It has no ending at all. As St. John says, "Beloved, we are God's children now. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him." In light of the eternity that is now opened up before us in Christ, what is this life imprisoned under the sun, with its temporal pleasures and its wealth, its supposed success, its idols, and all of its false fulfillment, except truly a vanity of vanities, a striving after the wind? To Christ be all the glory forever and ever.